is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number three. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas. He is our closer, Jensen Lewis, at home in Cleveland, Ohio. Great conversation with Jordan Sherwood in the last segment to wrap up hour number two there in Chicago. And some really interesting price points there at UFC 317. They have been changing as the week has gone on, and we'll keep this going tomorrow. I know we're going to have Reed Kuhn on. We're going to have Zayd Hussain in on Friday as well in studio. So a lot to get to here before we finish those handicaps for UFC 317. By the way, you want to come out to Vegas? You can do so with a all-in summer package here at Circa Las Vegas. So that package is $400 all-in. What do you get for that? Two-night hotel stay. That's going to include the resort fees and the taxes, and that is not cheap in and of itself. $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, a day bed at Stadium Swim as well. This offer will expire September 4th, so you got a couple more months to get on it here, but what a great deal. I've been telling my friends about it. I always say, hey, you guys can stay with me. That's fine, but I think you'd prefer to stay at Circa, so go to CircaLasVegas.com. That is one heck of a deal for $400. Jensen, to begin hour number three, I got to ask you a very pertinent question. Is this information news or a lot of noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
I will say this one certainly caught my attention. And I talk a lot about the Pandora's box. And when that box has been opened and then you can't put the box down and or close it. Could we see betting, Jensen, amongst NCAA athletes? The D1 Board of Directors voted back in April in favor of adapting new legislation that would allow college athletes, coaches, and staffers the ability to bet on professional sports. The D1 Council now will vote on this week, but according to a story from SI's Pat 40, a source says, quote, this is not a slam dunk. Jensen, the NCAA allowing the athletes and coaches to bet on pro sports, news or noise?
All right, so here's the background for people that are just becoming aware. It was a directive from the Division I Board of Directors in April that the council would adopt changes to sports betting rules, but not an endorsement of sports betting behaviors, especially for college athletes. Now, overall, the proposal basically, if adopted, this wouldn't happen until October, would change the sports betting rules, as you said, to allow not only student athletes, but also staff members to bet on professional sports. And then they would refocus their efforts on the college sports betting and behaviors that directly impact the game integrity. Okay, what did we hear a lot throughout not only college football season, the NCAA tournament, for the basketball side, you got a lot of these kids that were taking heat from fans. And we even so much so that we had commercials being out there of, you know, hey, you know, don't be going after these kids. I don't see too much of a problem allowing these athletes to bet on professional sports. I still think we have to clean up the part about what's happening in the collegiate arena here, too. I mean, Dave, we talk with Thomas Gable all the time about certain states that, you know, even here in Ohio, we're not allowed to bet on college player props. That's not even allowed, not in daily fantasy, not even on sports books. And so I still think this is a state by state issue that will have to get resolved irregardless of what the NCAA has on its current athletes betting on professional sports. So to me, I think the bigger issue is more so let's clean up, you know, kind of what we feel is an issue within just the college betting part. And then perhaps we can get to the larger part, which would be these collegiate members being able to bet on professional sports.
Let me take you back to when you wore a younger man's clothes. Let's put you back at Vandy. And you got a big Cowboys-Eagles game coming up to open up the season. You and the boys sitting around, maybe the coaches. You know, Skip's talking with you too about it. You think that that atmosphere where it's just professional sports that we're betting on, but college kids and, again, potentially the staff. Like, how do you think that would have flown for you back in the day?
So if I, and I guess it probably doesn't matter whether you're being compensated by NIL, whether you've been compensated by
great point.
Scholarship money.
Yes.
You know, I guess in our world, Dave, when you sign a contract, you know, there are rules and regulations that are enforceable in that contract. I would say that if part of, I'll just take NIL, if I was being compensated $250,000 for NIL, and there is a directive in there that says, okay, you can get these funds, but you may not participate in betting of any sort. College, pro, can't do it. Would that be incentive enough for me? Absolutely, because I think it's just understanding not only the discipline
yes.
and the agreement in and of itself from a contractual basis, but when I get, like, can you wait 3 years, you know, to become a professional? And then, you know, it's all there for the taking. So what is it worth? Would you give up $250,000 to bet on a Cowboys and Eagles game your sophomore year? I don't think I could get there. That all being said, I still think we're in that gray area of where the day and age is now about compensation. Hopefully now revenue share that was passed is going to help out some of these other kids and some of these other sports. But I'm wondering, you know, where do you draw the line here on certain states that even just outlawed the college props in and of themselves versus, hey, we're going to let college athletes, regardless of where you are, be able to bet on professional sports. I think it's not apples to oranges, but I mean, I think there's some gray area that's still got to be solved.
I worked at the Cary Street Gym back in my VCU days, and I used that money that I made working at the gym to gamble. So, like, that a little bit different, right? I didn't have NIL money in, so you're working a real job. And then, by the way, it wasn't paying $250,000 at the time either. So it is fascinating to see how much the landscape has changed in our lifetime to even be having this conversation today.
Yes.
That this is yes. on the table for athletes and the coaching. Could you imagine talking to your coaches? Hey, what do you think about the Commanders laying three? You know what I mean? Like, it's insane, but that's where we are. And I guess if you're going to play devil's advocate on the positive side, you would say, at least it's not doing what I'm doing back in the day with a bookie. Now everything's on the up and up, and you take it out of the dark ages and you put the light on it, Jensen. Is that the case to be made that, hey, yeah, we will be openly talking about this. It won't be taboo, and you won't have to go about it with illegal measures.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, you and I are old enough to remember, you know, the Ohio State issues with
yes.
the tattoos and the uniforms and the gold pants. And listen, Dave, as far back as I was in college, as far back as you were, money was given under the table,
mm-hmm.
You know, in certain respects, in a lot of different places. So, okay, while there are regulations that are now being put in place, you know, there's still ways for people to kind of do what they want to do. If you want to find a way, you can.
Yep.
But as far as the competitive integrity goes, let's kind of clean up the college on college here before we expand here and really get into a position where, you know, hey, I said it from the beginning of NIL. You are asking 18-year-old kids who some of them barely know how to fold their own clothes, you know, take care of themselves by themselves without mom and dad, and you're going to pay them $1 million to basically represent you. What's the fallout when they're not able to live up to that contract? You're asking for a lot of mental issues with athletes that are not ready at that age with that responsibility. And if you think that is bad, wait till you add on top what we've seen the last couple of years now with these fans, these deranged people
oh boy.
That have been going into DMs and harassing these athletes. If you think that it's stopping, good luck, man. I mean, it's a real problem, and hopefully there's going to be something put in place that can at least mitigate it for many of these athletes.
That is a fascinating conversation, and to see what becomes of this, it's going to be a very interesting vote here to see what the NCAA actually decides to do. By the way, we here at the network, we got a really special deal coming up here because the NFL betting guide is coming out next week. This time next week, it's out, people. So right now, if you want to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, for $175 with this early bird special, that's going to give you access all the way through the Super Bowl Yeah, that's 2026, people. So for that $175, when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe, the betting guide that we mentioned, Jensen and I both have our picks in there, daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, full access to the VSiN Watch app 24/7. Wherever you are, you'll always be connected to the network, deep analytics, and betting tools to help you make you a better in that upcoming NFL season, and it will be upon us here before we know it. Next segment, we're going to come back with our best bets. But again, the NBA draft is tonight. And think about those kids tonight. I say kids. You look at guys like Con Knipple. You look at guys like Cooper Flagg. These are basically sophomores, Jensen, that are going to have their lives changed forever. Take me back to your draft night very quickly. What was that like for a young Jensen Lewis?
Well, so twofold. Drafted out of high school by Cleveland, and I had already sent a letter to all 30 GMs that I would need $1 million to forego my full ride to Vanderbilt. So that was an easy one. And then this was still in the day and age, Dave, where you had to call in to a conference call. Okay, this is 2005. Where you had to learn whether you were drafted or not. Fortunately, the front office there in Cleveland called me a couple of picks before I was going to let me know that I was coming home to Cleveland.
So cool.
Surreal. It's a surreal day. Nothing like it. They always say you remember three things: the day you were drafted, the day you make your major league debut, and the day you retire. And so it's remarkable, the journey. Good luck to all these kids. You've already accomplished so much. A boatload of freshmen. Diaper dandies, as Dickie V would say, they're going to be men here in just a matter of hours.
Cooper Flagg, Dallas might not be home for you yet, but it's going to be after tonight, that's for sure. We've got our best bets, and Jensen's ready to fire. We'll give you those picks when we come back here, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Going to have Alana Rizzo join us in the next segment, talking all things Major League Baseball. And then Wes Reynolds will wrap up the program today, Wednesdays with Wes, as we look ahead to the Rocket Mortgage coming up here in Detroit. Can't wait to get some of those plays as well. But for right now, Jensen, you've been a busy man during the show. It is time for our best bets, brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And look, Matt Eumanns likes to call you Machine Gun Lewis. I love that nickname for you, because some days you see the board and you fire. And I think that today could be one of those days. Do you want to talk about the WNBA picks that you had already yesterday that are going to be applicable today?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it pays to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. We cash a couple of big unders yesterday from getting them in the day prior. Yep. And also in over in that Sparks and Sky game, never a doubt, 183 soars over the total of 167.5. The two totals I gave out yesterday, Liberty and Valkyries under 161, and also the Sun and Aces under 160.5. And if I do remember correctly, I believe we've already gotten a point there on the Sun and Aces under. That's now down to 159.5. Some other plays, and again, these are more for tomorrow, mm-hmm. and also a play for Friday already here, Dave. The Mystics and the Aces. So again, we're getting a little back-to-back here with Las Vegas. So the under is the play for them tonight that we gave out yesterday. Also going to go the under 163.5 for them on Thursday. So that's tomorrow. Get that in now. Think that could come down a little bit. Depending on who wants to sit in the back-to-back, may want to just snag that right now and see where it ends up. For Friday, this number stood out to me just from the data in and of itself. The Wings getting 7.5 here as a home dog to the Indiana Fever. And again, much has been made of how ridiculously inconsistent this Fever offense has been. Caitlin Clark not really clicking yet on all cylinders. Some issues that they're dealing with. I'll take the home dog here. Again, Dallas hasn't been ridiculously good, but 7.5 at home, absolutely love this number. And again, a high total 173.5, but I'll take the points right now, seeing where this could potentially be here in about 48 hours.
Yeah, and that's why, again, pays to be a VSiN Pro subscriber to have access to those plays that you give out well in advance. And a lot of these numbers, not only are you cashing those tickets, but you're seeing that closing line value in those as well. Let's get to Major League Baseball today. Some picks that you like out there, Jensen. And again, you watched the Phillies and the Astros yesterday. It was a great pitching duel there. Phillies come up short there, 1-0, the loss on that one. Can they get enough offense to back Zach Wheeler today, who's been really good, as we well know?
Yeah, do think offense will be at a premium on the under 7.5 officially for this game for Philly and Houston. Do like the Phillies on an alternate line, -1 here, Dave. We played the Phillies +1 yesterday, so a push there as you got a late home run there for Houston to get it done, 1-0. Let's go back to the well here, but let's go with the Phillies -1. You can get that at $1.21 if you build it out on DraftKings right now. Again, backing Zach Wheeler, mentioned him in our Whiff Wednesday. We also have him for 7 or more strikeouts at $1.05. So do feel offense at a premium today, but I think the Phillies get it done.
Metropolitans are really on the struggle bus. It's been a rough month here of June. The June swoon is real in Queens. And, you know, just watching the game last night, up 3-0, you never felt comfortable. Bullpen comes in. Braswin's terrible. He walks a bases loaded, and then the bullpen implodes from there. How do we back the Mets? Can we back the Mets today, as they are now 0-5 on the series in the season against the Braves?
Yeah, a little desperation too, but potentially this pitching matchup favoring the Mets in a lot of different ways. Again, Clay Holmes going to get the ball here for the Metropolitans. Didier Fuentes, the young pup, making his second major league start. I also went the alternate run line with the Mets here at -1. You get them at $1.09 right now, so very nice price here. Again, two bites at the apple here. If they win by one, it's a push. But do feel that they can find a way here offensively to get to the young rookie. Again, overall, Dave, you know, I know it's been tough, especially with the way you have that lead late and then the bullpen implodes. What, 11 men to the plate there as the Braves would score 5 and extend and escape. So it's got to end at some point. I do think it ends tonight. The Mets finally get back on the winning side.
From your mouth to my ears. Let's go, Metropolitans. Get a win against the Braves, please. Can you do that? Cubs have been struggling, too. Offense is fine. Pitching, not so much. Another one here in St. Louis. As that rivalry continues, what do you see today for the Cubby Bear?
We talk about Wednesdays that certain players, and this is going to be Matthew Boyd's 5th start on a Wednesday. Again, just one of the weird idiosyncrasies here of baseball as we go through the marathon. Shorter price here for the Cubs as a road favorite. I got them at $1.37. Circa, I believe, has them at $1.30. And hey, they made a little furious comeback last night, gave a little sweat there to the Cardinals, couple of great defensive plays, and Ryan Helsley locking it down. But much in the same way, Dave, we talk about a little desperation here for the Mets. I think the Cubs will have a little sense of urgency here as well. 7:45 Eastern first pitch from Busch Stadium. Do like the Cubs there as a road favorite to be able to get it done in St. Louis tonight.
I just cannot believe, when you look at just the records, right? 13 games over 500 for the Cubs. 8 games over 500 for the Cardinals. Did not see this coming here from the Lou, but so far so good for St. Louis. Let's go to your neck of the woods here. Guardians hosting the Blue Jays. You were on the Jays yesterday. Can they make it 2 in a row in the land?
Welcome back, Max Scherzer, first star off the IL, and he was at one point a little bit of a slight favorite here on the road. Gavin Williams will get the ball here for Cleveland. Dave, it's going to be 106 real feel here this afternoon in Northeast Ohio. They are expecting low to mid 90s at first pitch at 6:40 there at Progressive Field. Listen, the Jays offense about as hot as the temps here in the Midwest, and they put up a 10 spot capitalized by a George Springer grand slam to put it away for good. Do think they continue. Bo Bichette, Vladdy Jr. swinging it really well. Ernie Clement, former Cleveland prospect, has been as hot as anyone in Major League Baseball the last couple of weeks. -$1.11 is the way I got it. It's $1.05 at Circa, but do think the Blue Jays, again, find a way to get the better of the Cleveland Guardians.
You were mentioning some teams that it feels like they're tough to back right now, but yet you might find some avenues of approach for them. Could one of those teams be Brandon Valesky's Minnesota Twins today at home against Seattle?
I mean, Byron Buxton's your guy on Wednesdays. We talked about it. He leads Major League Baseball in homers on Wednesdays. So let's get this party started. Got him for 2 or more total bases today from our Daily Diamond. But yeah, I do think when you look at where potentially this might be one of those spots where you have a little trepidation because it's George Kirby on the other side. He has yet to really kind of put together an entire outing yet since coming back off the IL. There's been some good spurts here, but I always like Joe Ryan at home. One of those guys as a home favorite that you love getting behind. I got the Twins at $1.31 here on the money line. That is still available at DraftKings. So total of eight here, shaded to the under. No surprise with both these starters and the capabilities they have. But yeah, some early offense from Buxton and the boys at the top of the lineup. Let's get it going here, and let's get it to the back end of that vaunted bullpen.
All right, very quickly, the game of the day. I did not think we'd be saying this, but it's certainly in Milwaukee with Paul Skeens against Jacob Mizorowski. The Miz is minus $1.11. You want to get on Paul Skeens Day, minus $1.09. What do you make of those price points, or is this just a sit back and let's watch two great young pitchers go at it?
I certainly will be, and one of the great young pitching matchups that we've had in recent memory here. So a couple of ways we'll attack this game overall, and we'll do it the player prop route. Part of our Whiff Wednesday today, let's go with Jacob Mizorowski, under 3.5 hits allowed at $1.10. We'll go Paul Skeens, under 1.5 earned runs allowed at $1.20. Skeens, 8 total road starts this year, Dave. 2 runs or fewer allowed in all 8 of them. So taking a little bit of chance here with that being 1.5 on the under earned runs. But hey, I think he is more than up for the task. And boy, this is going to be sight to see, man. A lot of triple digit fastballs, a lot of wicked off speed from both these starters.
We'll talk more about that with Alana Rizzo coming up in the next segment too, about some of these young pitching gems that we're going to see. And certainly they're going to be highlighting it today in Milwaukee. We've got a $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. All you got to do right now is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card. When you do, in the first 90 days, deposit, play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You're going to get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN will complete that trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That in and of itself is a $200 value. So that is the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this very offer. It will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay, Alana Rizzo is going to join us coming up next. Talk all things Major League Baseball. And again, from what we saw yesterday in Cincinnati, what we might see in Milwaukee, some really good young arms out there to get excited about. And then Wes Reynolds will wrap up the program today. His best bets coming up in Detroit for the Rocket Classic. That's all to come right here, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, going to have Wes Reynolds join us in the next segment, talk all things golf going up there in Detroit. But we are really thrilled to catch up with Alana Rizzo right now, talking all things Major League Baseball. National MLB host and reporter joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line. Give her a follow at Alana Rizzo on X. Alana, great to have you on the program. I know Jensen and I are excited to talk baseball with you. We're excited to see all these young arms that are, you know, either making their debuts or still really dazzling us early on in their careers. What did you make of what you saw in Cincinnati yesterday with young Chase, 8 punchies in 5 innings in his debut?
Well, it's funny. First of all, it's great to be with you guys. I really appreciate the invitation. Great to be with Jensen again. We worked together on High Heat a couple of times, but it's so fun to see the future of this game, right? When you're talking about the starting arms and the unbelievable talent. Obviously, Chase Burns, a guy that was very highly touted, the number one prospect in the Reds organization, but really a very highly touted prospect in all of Major League Baseball. And this is a guy that you kind of watched when he was at the University of Tennessee, a Tennessee kid, and he just had that unbelievable fire. This is a kid that does not lack for emotion, right? I mean, every single time he punched somebody out, it was like it was, you know, game 7 of the Major League Baseball World Series, but he had the stuff to back up the antics. And I was wondering how that was going to transition to the big league level. And I tell you, his debut was unbelievably anticipated. And he's the first starting pitcher, guys, in at least the expansion era, which 1961, of course, to strike out his first five batters faced in his major league debut. I mean, it wasn't a perfect debut, right? He had the three earned runs. He gave up the six hits, but he didn't walk anybody. So that's a positive sign. And as you mentioned, Dave, he had the eight punchies. So he left the game with a 3-0 deficit, but he wasn't on the hook for the loss. Obviously, Gavin Lux walked it off against the Yankees. That's got to be a thrill for Luxy as well. So to be able to make your debut against the New York Yankees, I think every young kid wanted to grow up and put on the pinstripes, right? I think you'd be lying if you said you didn't want to be a Yankee at one point in your career. But to be able to make a debut against the Yankees and do a pretty good job. I mean, again, it wasn't a Steven Strasburg outing, but it was a really good outing. And I think the future is bright for the Reds, and it's certainly bright for Chase Burns. It was good to see him finally get up and be able to show what he has at the big league level, because we certainly knew he could do it in college.
Yeah, Alana, I was there in the bullpen for Strauss's first road start when they were selling Strasburg jerseys outside of Progressive Field, and we're like, do they realize we're the home team here? Like, what's going on here? Speaking of a guy they're going to be selling jerseys for, we get a dandy today, and good luck to National League Central offenses moving forward for the next 5 to 6 years. We talk Chase Burns, the Reds. We get just a gem with Paul Skeens of the Pittsburgh Pirates against Jacob Mizrowski of the Milwaukee Brewers this afternoon, the game of the afternoon. Size it up for us. What are you most excited about with this head-to-head tilt?
Yeah, first of all, I think the only person, guys, that's not excited about this matchup is Aaron Civale, who requested to be traded, obviously, when Miz was going to get the debut, and then he ends up going to the White Sox. I'm like, I'm not sure that that's exactly what he had in mind, but here we are. No, this is fun, right? I mean, you have two 23-year-olds going head-to-head, and probably one of the most anticipated probables and pitching duels of the season. And it's funny to say that when it's the Pirates and the Brewers, right? I mean, these are two teams that the Brewers are obviously playing well, but the Pirates, I think, need to be regulated to quadruple A, just like the Colorado Rockies should probably be in quadruple A right now. But this is exciting. I mean, it's a dream matchup for anybody that likes to see what's the future of this game. And obviously, we know what Paul Skeens has. I can't wait to see him in a Dodger uniform. And we know what Jacob Mizrowski is going to bring to the table. They've never met before, as far as I understand, but this is going to be a fun matchup. And as you mentioned, Jensen, it's interesting to see what these offenses are going to do against these two young kids. The future is bright in this sport for this game. It's an early game too. I like the fact that it's at 1:10 Central. So those of us that have don't have normal jobs, we all get to watch what's going on between these two kids today. So it'll be fun to see.
It's amazing too. That total, by the way, has gone down to 6.5 runs. So we're not expecting a whole lot of offense today in Milwaukee with these two young studs on the bump. Alana, I got to ask you about what's going on in New York. The Mets have lost 9-10. They're out of first place here. Phillies are not the betting favorites to win the East. And the Yankees only have a game lead here after losing two in a row here. They've lost 7 of their last 10 as well. A one-game lead over Tampa. Out of the two teams in New York, which one would you be more concerned with going forward?
Can I pick both?
Am I allowed to?
I know, Dave, you asked me to pick one, but I tell you what, not even 3 weeks ago, I think most of us thought that the New York Yankees were going to run away with the AL East. I mean, they had the largest gap in terms of division lead of all of the divisions. And now here we sit, and here come the Rays, here come the Blue Jays, here come the Red Sox to a certain extent. The Orioles obviously have a lot of issues and they're not making the postseason. But right now, I still truly believe this is a four-team race in the American League East. I think, you know, I don't know if it's because the whole we don't have Gerrit Cole and we don't have Luis Gil has kind of caught up with us. Their offense has absolutely just sputtered. I mean, the Yankees can't buy a run right now. And obviously, Aaron Judge is having a historic season, but he's even cooled down. And it can't just rely all on Aaron Judge. I mean, he's got to have protection in that lineup. They've got to lengthen the lineup in some way. But I think there's more competition in the AL East than there is in the NL East. I still think the Mets are going to figure it out and be okay. I think the Mets are too good. Their pitching is far better than they've shown. And I do think they have enough offense to be better than the rest of the team. Are you a Met fan, Dave?
I am, Alana. I didn't know you could see that.
Yep.
I was like, yes, so then, Alana.
This is for you. I think the Mets are going to be fine. They're far too talented. And again, we're almost right about the halfway points of the season, right? So I think if you kind of give the grade to the Mets right now, probably give them a B, but there's still so much. And you know, Steve Cohen has more money than the good Lord himself. So you're going to get what you need to fill any sort of gaps that the New York Mets have. And honestly, I think the Mets have fewer gaps than the Yankees have. So I'm not worried about the Mets. I do believe they make the postseason without a doubt. But I have to tell you, I would run through a wall for Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber and the Philadelphia Phillies. There's something about that team that I just really like. I can't wait till Bryce gets back and Kyle Schwarber is, I don't care if the man ever hits above the Mendoza line, he can just absolutely smash out of the leadoff spot sometimes. So you're going to be fine, Dave. The Mets are going to be fine. I think they've just hit a really, really bad slump, but they're going to be okay.
Yeah, see, Jensen, she walked me off the ledge right there. In Uncle Steve, we trust. So spend that money, Steve. Yep. It's not mine.
No doubt about it. All right, Alana, let's stay in the American League East. I know a division you're inundated with, doing a great job on Nesson covering the Red Sox. All of a sudden, this division has become basically a four-team race. And a team we're seeing up here in Northeast Ohio and Cleveland, we get a front-row look at what the Toronto Blue Jays have done. Yeah, between the Rays and the Jays, Alana, both have kind of crept up quietly maybe on the national scene, but here we are, Rays just a game back, and now the Blue Jays with a win last night, a couple of games back. What stands out to you most about this division as a whole? Can we call it a four-team race, knowing that Craig Breslow and company will probably be pretty active here at the trade deadline?
Which is so bizarre, too, with the whole situation with the Red Sox, right? When they traded Rafael Devers, I was like, what is happening? Like, what are they doing? I mean, this has become a pattern with this club. I mean, obviously trading Mookie Betts, Red Sox Nation guys is still not over that trade. I mean, they are still bitter about the whole Mookie Betts situation. And obviously they don't really entertain bringing Xander Bogaerts back. He's obviously in San Diego. He went there as a free agent. And then all of a sudden you trade your franchise player in Rafael Devers, and the San Francisco Giants just got a whole heck of a lot better. I understand the whole situation with not wanting to play certain positions. I think there was miscommunication on both sides of the thing. I think it was very ugly. I think it was very unprofessional. But that being said, Rafael Devers is no longer there, and they are very much hoping that their future is in the big leagues right now. Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, who I know got optioned back down to AAA to work on some things, but they are looking towards the future, and Craig Breslow and Sam Kennedy still believe that this team is a postseason contender. I do think they will make some moves. Their starting pitching isn't great, apart from Garrett Crochet. Walker Buehler has not been what they needed him to be. Brian Bayo's getting better. He's going deeper into games. You know, you have Lucas Giolito, who's been fine, but they've got to get some sincere starting pitching. I think Bernardino in the pen, his arm is going to fall off because he's pitched every single day. So they've got some issues, right? They've got some holes, but Tampa Bay never surprises me. This is the one team, guys, and you know it better than anybody. You've covered baseball a long time. This is the one team that does things their own way. Other teams have tried to manipulate what they've done, and the only team that does it the right way is Tampa Bay, and they're in it every single year. They just have a formula that works for them, and they just kind of go about their business, and here they are year in and year out making it happen. Now, the Blue Jays, I think, are an interesting team because obviously it is no longer a distraction about whether they're going to extend Vladdy Jr. They did that, but the window between Jr. and Bichette continues to close, and it's really, really closing now. And if they don't make a push now, I don't know when they're going to make a push. So this is where I think their front office really needs to consider, like, this may be the last year they've got a shot to get into the postseason and go deep into the game. You know, the Yankees are going to be there. They're going to be fine. The Rays are going to be there too. How deep they get into the postseason remains to be seen. They're not a deep postseason team with the exception of 2020. And thank you very much, Kevin Cash, for pulling Blake Snell out of the game. Dodgers fans appreciate that very much. But the Blue Jays have enough. It's just whether they can put it all together at the right times. I mean, Jensen, you know better than anybody. You played in this game. It's like, it's such a long season. You just have to tread water until you get to the All-Star break.
Got
to
wrap it up. 500. I'm sorry, Alana. We got to go. By the way, GetReesGuardian.org. Check it out, people. We're back with more.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We're back, VSiN by the Books. Enjoyed the conversation with Alana Rizzo in the last segment, talking all things Major League Baseball. Always look forward to our conversations on Wednesday. Wednesday's with Wes Reynolds. Joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow, Wes Reynolds, and the number one on X. Does a great job here as our golf guru on the network. Wes, before we get to the Rocket Classic here in Detroit, like, we have to just ask, how you doing? Pacer fan, you guys were right there. You're knocking on the door of championship. We see Hallie go out in the first quarter, and it felt like, all the air gets kind of sucked out of the room. Wes, how do you summarize what you saw with your Pacers, and what do you think they do now going forward for next year?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. It's getting a little bit easier by the day. Monday was a pretty miserable day.
Yeah.
Aftermath of what happened, being one half 24 minutes away from winning your first NBA championship and then having it just all crumble, literally. So, first and foremost, the concern is of Tyrese Halliburton's health. This is a long rehabilitation process. I think he's a young man, though, that seems like he's ready for the challenge. Like he did, like he said in his message, I don't have to go through this. I get to go through this. And it's going to make him stronger, I think, long term. But the hardest part wasn't the loss on Sunday night, because you lost to a team that won 68 games in the Oklahoma City Thunder and second best net rating since the 95-96 Bulls, the whole nine yards. But the hardest part was I didn't get to say, okay, well, wait till next year, because there was that optimism with the Pacers that even if they lose, it's like they're right there. This wasn't like the 2000 Pacers where, okay, this was an older veteran team and that was their last shot. That was their only shot at a winner to win an NBA championship. This team you felt like had maybe another one or two cracks at it, and then obviously the injury happens. So I don't know what the Pacers do. They're kind of in that holding pattern. Do you kind of run it back and keep the same team, re-sign Miles Turner with what you have under the cap and see what you can do, or do you make moves, and do you try to, split apart what you've built so far, which I don't think that they want to do in Indianapolis, but they're certainly getting calls on Benedict Mathurin. They're certainly getting calls on Obi Toppin and Jairus Walker. So people want those pieces, and we'll see if Kevin Pritchard and Chad Buchanan want to give them up. I kind of lean to thinking they're going to relatively stand pat, maybe some minor moves at the back end of the roster, but we shall see. Other things have surprised me in the NBA.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a wide open East. I tell Dave all the time, I listen, I'm a realist about the Cavaliers. It was a full face plant, as you well know, front and center. But that's a team that has questions even installed as the betting favorite to win the East this year. Okay, we've got an intriguing tournament here with the Rocket Classic. And again, a lot of the bigger names not here, as we've seen in the past. But Colin Morikawa atop the board. You've got some good ones atop your card this week. Cam Young, I know Dave is got some trepidation about him here moving forward, but a guy in Davis Thompson, I love when we sync up together, because I looked at him in a potential top 10 market, but you like him as a 40-1 potentially as an outright too.
Yeah, I do, Jensen, and go back to somebody that won a ticket for you, and that's what he did for me last summer at the John Deere Classic, and this is where he kind of started a little bit of a midsummer late season surge last year. He's four-way tie for second here behind Cam Davis last year. At the Travelers last week, he was T25, but that wasn't because of how he hit the ball. He was second on approach, third stroke gain tee to green, but he was 65th out of 67 on the green. So, that's a little bit worrisome, but I think you can excuse like one bad putting week, because that has the most variance of anything. And I think if you're hitting the ball good, that's usually going to stay true for more than just one kind of spike week. So Davis Thompson, 40-1, did make the card this week.
Obviously, top of the board, a bunch of Americans here. Colin Morikawa leading the way, 12-1. Patrick Cantlay, 16-1. And Captain America himself, fresh off that startling win last week, his second Travelers. The captain, 18-1 for Keegs. Do you fade Keegan Bradley this week, or does he keep this push going where he's like, man, maybe I look at a top 10, a top 5 market for the guy if he can't get back in the winner's circle, so that he doesn't have to worry about picking himself for the Ryder Cup team and he just get there on points?
Yeah, I don't fade him, and I was glad to be on him. Obviously, last week got a break that made up for the Sam Burns break that we didn't get at the Canadian Open a couple weeks ago. So they all even out, right? That's what we at least tell ourselves. But so I'm not going to fade Keegan Bradley here necessarily. But you've got a lot of people in consideration for the Ryder Cup team. I think not only on the U.S. side, but on the international side too. So let me go with one of those. And that's Matt Fitzpatrick at 45-1, who had the caddy split with Billy Foster earlier this year. They won the U.S. Open together 3 years ago, so he's got a new caddy on the bag, taking a little time to get used to that. But he's made 7 of 8 cuts, including a top 10 at the PGA. So he's got that sense of urgency, too, to make that European team, because there's a lot of contenders, of course, for that team. You know, certainly the base of the team at the top is together with Rory, Rahm, and dare I say Tommy Fleetwood after what we saw last week. But it's like, watch him go 5-0 in the Ryder Cup, like he usually seems to do, even though he's not been able to win a tournament here stateside. But yeah, I think you have this Ryder Cup contention. And look, there's a reason why I can't land Morikawa playing here, because they have not won in a while. They want to lock in their spot, certainly for the Ryder Cup team, as Russell Henley made his move into the top 6 in points last week, despite not winning.
Yeah, remarkable, right? Where the motivation is and how that factors in to a potential handicap, Wes. It is great insight right there. Again, in these non-elevated events, we always love to look down at a couple of the longer shots. And if people haven't listened to this edition of Long Shots Pod, please do so. Down the card here, 80-1 and beyond, you got a couple of intriguing names. Your selections and why you made them.
Yeah, at 80-1, as you mentioned, Jensen, Emiliano Grillo, who I was like, Emiliano Grillo, you know, I haven't played him or had him on a card in a long minute. But I looked when I was doing the stat modeling this week and just kind of looking, and I just kept seeing him on the list. Grillo on approach, on proximity to the hole, especially in the wedge buckets, because you're going to have a lot of wedge shots here at this course, because you can pretty much grip it and rip it off the tee, you know, with no real hazards. But he seemingly found something. 4 top 25s straight up, and then 9 of his last 10 cuts he's made. He was in the top 15 in all the wedge proximity buckets I just mentioned, 75 to 100, 100 to 125, 125 to 150. He's contended in the Midwest before, couple runner-ups, one at the 3M Open, one at the John Deere Classic, a third a couple of years ago at the 3M Open. So he's a guy on these like Midwest birdie fests that I think can do very well. So Emiliano Grillo, and then a completely different type of player that's a longer shot, Jesper Svensson at 105-1. Swedish player, rookie on the PGA Tour, has won on the DP World Tour, second in this field for driving distance, second in this field for strokes gained par 5, third for birdie or better percentage, fourth for stroke gained off the tee, 11 of 15 made cuts this season on the tour. Just a big hitting guy that I think, you know, you could spray it a little bit here and still be okay. So Jesper Svensson, 105-1, and then Lee Hodges, 110-1, who last started a season at the RBC Canadian Open 3 weeks ago. That was his best finish of 9th. Had that rib injury that took him out when he had a couple top 10s early in January, February. Not great form here in Detroit historically, but he did win the 3M Open in the Twin Cities a couple years ago by 7 strokes, if you remember that event. So he's capable of going low in kind of these birdie fests throughout my home in the Midwest.
Two guys that I like to bet on, both on certainly in action this week. That's Cam Davis, who's had really good success here at this track. The Australian's about 80-1 here, I'm seeing in the marketplace. And then Cameron Young, and we talked about it, like 25-1 right now. I know he still probably thinks of himself as a potential outsider for a Ryder Cup. I don't know if that's a realistic goal for him at this stage. But what do you make of those two guys, one with good course success and another guy that was trending well until a terrible weekend this past weekend?
Yeah, well, I am on Cam Young, Dave. And, you know, I have the same trepidation, I think, that you do.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to excuse last week. I know he was 5 under 65 after round one. Looked like he was a contender and then just didn't drive the ball very well. But you know, I'm willing to say, okay, it's a hangover from the U.S. Open where he's kind of on the periphery of contention. But now he goes to a course that's pretty tailor-made for him. If you look, he finished 2nd in 2022, and he was 6th last year in 2 appearances. So this is a guy that can hit it and hit it long and kind of does spray it all over the place, but not going to be in danger here. The rough, I don't think, is really that penal. And plus, there's only one water hazard actually on this entire layout. of 18 holes, very few bunkers too. The fairway bunkers you can clear pretty easily if you want relatively longer hitter. So Cameron Young, 28 to 1, 25 to 1. I don't know if he's in cup contention, but look, you certainly got to win. There are spots to be had, I think, on this team. When the captain, he took one of them himself, I think, last week at the Travelers.
All right, you talked me off the ledge. I'm going to put him back in my card again this week, Wes. Let's go. Cameron Young season one more time. There he is, Wes Reynolds.
With that ringing endorsement I just gave him, right?
you inspired me, Wes, to go back to the well, put my hand on the hot stove once again. Wes, we appreciate the time as always, my friend.
You bet, boys. Thanks for having me.
There he is. Give him a follow on X at Wes Reynolds, the number one. Jensen, great stuff. As always, my friend, we'll do it again tomorrow. Of course, a numbers game coming up next year. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin, don't go anywhere. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.